I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, March 30th, 2020 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. Yesterday, Larkin, Texas mentioned a word, and I thought about circling back and I mean, we could do several broadcasts just on this one word, eusociality, which is kind of like the social equivalent of eugenics. You know, eusociality is sort of what eugenics, well, in my view, and hopefully this makes sense, but, you know, eusociality is kind of, is to the social environment what eugenics is to biology. And so you have all kinds of peripheral curious terminology that goes along with this, you know, words that people don't usually use. I've mentioned Lamarckian epigenetics, for example, is a preoccupation. What are the hereditable traits and characteristics that can be passed on, whether biologically or maybe if we use an implant or maybe if we imprint this on the social consciousness, then there is another term, phylogeny is a companion term. Which means the evolutionary development of and history of a species or trait of a species or a higher taxonomic group of organisms. So you sort of come to the idea of exactly what Bertrand Russell wrote about in The Impact of Science on Society. This divergence of characteristics and traits in a group that looks a lot like what Russell and others have written about, you know, movies. I mean, you think of movies like Metropolis. I think that was, it was about 100 years ago. You know, the society ruled. It was a technocratic, cybernetic dystopia ruled by a technocratic elite, and, you know, beneath that, a subjugated worker class of plebes that were like an ant colony. And so that's what eusociality is. It's the idea that everyone in the, you know, the predominant body of society is composed of automatons who really have no identity of their own apart from the Borg, exactly like an ant colony, exactly like a beehive, which is why bad guys have written about this for hundreds of years. This is what they have envisioned, because, or envisaged, they like to use that word, because of the God whom they serve, the God of this world. The Bible, you know, calls him the Prince of the Power of the Air and some different things, but they end up writing about these things. And so it's a fascinating concept, this idea of eusociality, and I could do several broadcasts. I want to get into that. Before we do that, and, you know, particularly the technology, Lark is absolutely right when he says, you know, people, I've said this different ways, different times over the years, people want to think of and depict technology, digital technology, computers and things, as, and portray this technology as though it's neutral. You know what? It could be used, it, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. There might be an argument to be made somewhere about that, were it not for the fact that the forces that guide and direct the development of that technology are not, any, they're anything but neutral, they're anything but benign. They're very malevolent. And that's why guys like Jaron Lanier, who is still considered the father of virtual reality technology, suddenly becomes a heretic when he starts saying, or is viewed as a heretic in his community, for saying, wait a minute, not so fast. And, you know, seemingly gravitating more and more to becoming a Luddite of sorts. So on the one hand, you have the community that's been indoctrinated to believe that this technology is neutral, or maybe it's actually beneficial, when in reality you have someone like Lanier, been around for a while obviously, saying not so fast, which seems to speak to the issue of eusociality directly. The fact that people have been convinced, and we played the clip of Neil Postman saying what he said, you know, people, and Madison Avenue is very, very skilled at telling us that technology will solve all of our problems. It's our new God. It will perform miracles. It will make the lame walk, the deaf speak, the deaf hear, the mute speak, the blind see, literally in some cases. We hear it will perform miracles. It will solve all of our problems. And as Neil Postman observed, we are encouraged not to really reflect on this technology and realize that it doesn't just add to society. He said it, I think, perfectly. It giveth, but it also taketh away. And so we don't have enough people really helping us to examine what it taketh away in that process. That's an interesting topic to explore. And I think the term eusociality, if you really study it with a discerning eye and you understand what you're looking at, you understand what bad guys have been doing for a long time, trying to control people, trying to feed them some kind of situation that'll get them to behave differently than they've ever behaved in a way that becomes permanent. Speaking of these kinds of terms, you know, epigenetics and phylogeny and so forth. Just to conclude that, I want to get to this other stuff. Maybe I'll come back to this, but to validate Lark's point and to sort of underscore all of this. I mean, you think, for example, one of the things I think of in my mind is the Club of Rome's, the same time the World Economic Forum was founded by Klaus Schwab was the same time that the Club of Rome's working paper, The Limits to Growth, was published. And so these folks who fancy themselves our betters, in other words, before the World Economic Forum, the Club of Rome existed and was on these Malthusian plans trying to manipulate, control, and get rid of a large portion of the world's population and have us all believing that it's in the best interest of our ant colony. You know, it's for the greater good, dear comrades. You should just, you know, die because it's for the greater good. I mean, it's that sick. It really is. So the Club of Rome's working paper, The Limits to Growth, was published, I believe, in 1971. And then that was followed up by a book that picked up where The Limits to Growth left off. And that book, of course, was titled The First Global Revolution. And was very, you know, the subject of Malthusian population control reduction. What does that mean? It means we've got to get rid of a bunch of what some view as useless eaters. We've got to get rid of a bunch of people, which is the opposite of the command that God issued and reissued in the Bible to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So the First Global Revolution is published, I believe it was it 95? It was in the 90s, some, you know, 20-something years after The Limits to Growth, the working paper. And in the book, just paraphrasing, the Club of Rome, folks at the Club, Alexander King, Bertrand Schneider, mentioned that to create change, man needs a common enemy. Throughout history, he's needed a common enemy. And so they mention how important it is to manufacture an enemy and give him an enemy, a common enemy. And so on that note, I want to move over to not right this second, but I'm going to come back to the piece by James Perloff on Ukraine. It's interesting. James Perloff says, I'm not really, you know, like most Americans, I'm not an expert on Ukraine. And I say, really? I guess that's kind of like Tiger Woods doing an interview and saying, or, you know, Jack Nicklaus or whomever saying, I'm not, you know, like most Americans, I'm not really good at golf. If there's, I guess maybe specifically Ukraine, but when it comes to foreign policy and pattern recognition, I don't think there's anyone better than James Perloff. So that's an interesting article, and I appreciate that's posted over at RBN, and I appreciate Larry sending that to me. So thank you. Anyway, just to get back to this and finish this thought, the Club of Rome says to create change, man needs a common enemy, and then they say, you know what, the common enemy in this modern era is man himself. And that's where all of the climate change stuff comes from, and that's why when whatever crisis there is, we have to start to merge the manufactured, ostensible, you know, existential threat. They have to be merged until everything is one giant amalgamation of these amorphous, invisible enemies. They're everywhere. You know, Saddam Hussein is, Osama bin Laden is, COVID-19 is, et cetera, et cetera. It's just one big, giant, amorphous glob of invisible enemy. And when you start seeing that way, and you start understanding the social pressures then that play upon people's psyches in ways they don't realize, then you understand what you're reading more clearly. You understand how people retreat to, they try to retreat unconsciously, unknowingly. And a lot of this has to do with the fact that people have been conditioned to behave like herd animals instead of thinking people. If you can keep people in a crisis mode, obviously they're not operating in from a place of thoughtful consideration, just as a basic consideration. They're panicked. You know, like spooked cattle or horses. Or a person in a burning building. Hard to concentrate and think about planning, you know, lifelong planning or whatever. It's hard to think about your 5-year plan in the middle of a house fire. So, if you can keep people in that state, that frothy state, A, you can obviously prevent them from plotting to undo your scheme, and B, eventually you can condition them in phylogenic or eusocial fashion. We'll come back to this, but I'll leave you with this as we go over to the other stuff. This peer-reviewed paper over at PubMed, Eusociality, Origin, and Consequences. With all of this in mind, think about this. I'm going to read the abstract. Knowing what you know about these kinds of things, you know, and the communitarian way is essentially the invasion of the body snatchers. Join us. Join us. Remember when Alan Watt used to say, that's what they say. They say, join us. Join us. And that's what the siren song of communitarianism sounds like. You have these groups of people, and again, speaking of cultural Marxism, that intro we play, the Hating Breitbart intro, you have people retreating to what seem to be enclaves of power, these groups, and like rats on a sinking ship, you know, they follow each other, trying to find these groups that are larger and larger and more powerful, and you get extra points, you get bonus points and extra credit if your group is somehow, you know, it has some kind of victimhood that you can portray or project publicly. Anyway, with all of that in mind, well, I suppose I'll wait till the next segment to read the abstract of this paper. Eusociality, Origin, and Consequences. Edward O. Wilson and Bert Holdobler. Published back in 2005, September 2005. Fascinating stuff. And if you understand the background that I just gave while you're reading this, there are a couple of things that really kind of jump out. So we'll get to that and then we'll move on. When we come back, stick around.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Welcome back. All right. So Bertrand Russell wrote in The Impact of Science on Society, the populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions, you know, in a scientific dictatorship, in a technocratic dystopia run by cybernetic totalists. What is that? You know, what does cybernetic totalism represent? It's the rudder, the little tiny rudder that steers the social mechanism, so to speak, invisibly and undetected by most except those who are steering it or employing it. Populists will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated, you know, you ask most people about foreign policy, how much do you know? You know, Larry sends me all of this fantastic stuff and these quotes, you know, including this piece by James Perloff, Ukraine Behind the Wall of Propaganda. It happened almost overnight. After 2 years of COVID dominating the world's headlines, Ukraine seamlessly took center stage. You know, so he says, I, like most Americans, I am not an expert on Ukraine, but enough information has accumulated to form some conclusions based on a preponderance of evidence. And I say the same thing. And if my conclusion is along the same lines as James Perloff, which it is, then, I mean, I'm far less of an expert on anything foreign policy related than James Perloff. But if my conclusion is along the same lines as his, then I consider myself pretty smart, because he's far more capable in that area. So part of the post includes Ben Swan's tweet and the quote, you know, the U.S. has dropped more than 326,000 bombs and missiles on people in other countries since 2001. That's an average of 46 bombs and missiles per day for 20 years. So if you're Raytheon, for example, business is good. But, you know, if you're Muammar Gaddafi, business isn't so good. So then the tweet goes on, but you didn't care because the media didn't tell you to care and the propaganda machine made you believe it was okay. People will say, oh, but Ben, that's just because you don't understand foreign policy. It's complicated. No, the illusion of complication is given to you, it's fed to you to keep you from asking questions, to anesthetize you and do exactly these other kinds of things that are included in the quotes that Larry sent me, which are fantastic. And, well, this one, for example, speaking of evil, which this is, you know, these words, first we overlook evil. We're encouraged to overlook it by the mainstream media or to participate in Romans 1 fashion. Then we permit evil. Then we legitimize evil. Then we promote evil. Then we celebrate evil. Then we persecute those who still call it evil. And that, and, you know, you might as well add, again, in Romans chapter 1 sort of fashion, we celebrate, we champion evil and encourage others to do likewise. It's a real shame that that's where we seem to be in America these days. And ironically, part of James Perloff's article includes Vladimir Putin. And if you're familiar with the history of Mother Russia, there is a rhyme of history, shall we say, occurring in America. Vladimir Putin talking about America departing from her Christian roots. That's interesting. So, you know, James Perloff includes a series of videos, I think about a dozen or so. Vladimir Putin saying things that, as I have mentioned recently, make him sound more American than, I don't know, Joe Biden or enter so-and-so here, the Biden administration. So, where does the truth lie in all of that? I'm not saying that we should all defect to Russia. That's not the point. The point is, things are not exactly as we are led to believe, and there's a reason we are led to believe certain things, which reminds me of another quote and a certain someone that I'll mention when we come back who is on the list of dearly departed. Stick around, we'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
First hour already, so let's get to the point. So, things don't work the way that we're led to believe. Another one of the folks that we've lost recently, Jordan Maxwell, apparently a week ago. So that's unfortunate. I suppose it happens. That's part of life. But so Larry sends me this, the quote. Jordan Maxwell, attributed to Jordan Maxwell, along with news of his passing, nothing in this world operates the way you think it does. Banks do not loan money, and, you know, bad guys have even said so. I mentioned from time to time how John Kenneth Galbraith himself wrote in an economic textbook, university textbook, that the process of money, the creation of money, or what's called money, is so simple the mind is literally repelled. because it's really not created. And this currency that we refer to as money, which it is not, has beguiled the world, been used to beguile the world. One of the pieces that I mentioned yesterday, Ray Dalio, talking about that and the rearranging of world order, you know, principles for dealing with the changing world order. Why Nations Succeed and Fail, that's Ray Dalio's book. And then, you know, I mentioned the video, Principles for Dealing with the Changing World Order by Ray Dalio. So, Jordan Maxwell knew and said, nothing in this world operates the way that you think it does. Banks do not loan money. Governments are not empowered to protect you. The police department is not there to serve you. We've done that show several times. It's been a few years, but you know how even the Supreme Court says police departments do not have an obligation to protect and serve you. Even though that's the slogan, and it's usually in a Bernaysian sort of fashion, right? The plausibly deniable protect and serve, but protecting what and serving whom? So, police department is not there to serve you. Institutions of higher learning, colleges and educational institutions are not there to educate you. The entire superstructure of civilization in the Western world is a combination of brilliantly put together and planned, well-planned schemes to direct the minds of the people in such a way as to serve their masters. And again, speaking of Bertrand Russell, in a way that is undetectable to folks. So back to the Bertrand Russell quote, you know, may Jordan Maxwell rest in peace. Thanks again, Larry, for sending me that. Bertrand Russell, the populace will not be allowed, again, in a scientific dictatorship, technologically based or technologically dominated, the populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated. When the technique has been perfected, every government that has been in charge of education for a generation will be able to control its subjects securely without the need of armies or policemen. How is that possible? What would that look like? Well, it's what I'm referring to with regard to the subject of eusociality, as Larkin, Texas mentioned yesterday. You, again, back to the Club of Rome, the first global revolution, man is the common enemy, but occasionally we'll insert different invisible enemies and boogeymen, which are all manufactured. Speaking of people who know, you know, James Perloff, no one knows better than the manufactured boogeyman than James Perloff. In fact, he mentions in the article, again, it's titled Ukraine Behind the Wall of Propaganda by James Perloff, which you can find at jamesperloff.net and also posted on republicbroadcasting.org yesterday. James Perloff, 13 pieces of the jigsaw. So he mentions, well, a number of these things. You know, for example, the American government's response to all of this, no less theatrical, as with the media, no attempt was made to actually investigate Russia's motives or hear their side of the story. And isn't it funny how that's always the case? I find it just remarkable that no one's the least bit curious, that whenever some subject is in the headlines, we don't actually hear, like if it's COVID, we don't hear from Dr. Peter McCullough, who otherwise is one of the most respected, most highly published, most peer-reviewed voices on the planet, on the entire planet, on medical issues, particularly of the heart. So why aren't we hearing from folks like him? Instead, we're hearing from guys like Bill Gates. Not a doctor, not an epidemiologist, not a virologist, not even a college graduate. Can you imagine how absurd that is? I mean, if that's the litmus test, if that's the bar or the benchmark for being an expert in the field of COVID, how many times do we hear that? Well, you're not a doctor. You're not an epidemiologist. No. No, I'm not. I'm not a college graduate. But you know what? Neither is Bill Gates. He's a dropout. And that, you know, that's fine. Maybe that serves folks better. I'm just saying, if the benchmark for, you know, you considering whether or not you should listen to someone is that they are a graduate of medical school, then you shouldn't be listening to someone like Bill Gates. You should be listening to someone like Peter McCullough. And again, you know, we've had this conversation. We played the clip of the folks in Congress, the heated debate, and folks like Ashish Jha being confronted by the fact that he was not seeing patients. And I think it was Ron Johnson who asked him directly, but how many patients have you seen? And all these other folks, Harvey Risch, I think, in particular, and several others, were seeing patients. Zelenko, obviously, the Zelenko protocol. These guys who were saying that were actually living the Hippocratic Oath and saying, here's what we've been trying with our patients, you know, the right to try, like Ron Johnson was defending. Some of these doctors are saying, look, we're not trying to hurt people, and we know this is not widely accepted necessarily or even approved, but we support a patient's right to try. And this seems to be working. So, hey, fellow doctors, this seems to be working. That's what they were doing. The Harvey Risches, the Vladimir Zelenkos, and sharing that information among their community. You know, the medical community, and were castigated for it. How insane is that? Meanwhile, the world wants to listen to a Bill Gates. So in a foreign policy aspect, James Perloff says the American government's response is no less theatrical. As with the media, no attempt was made to actually investigate Russia's motives or to hear their side of the story. No question. That's categorical. That always happens. We see something or we're led to believe something happened, and we never hear from the actual person who is on trial by media, judge, jury, and executioner in William T. Stead government by journalism sort of fashion, in Fabian fashion. And interestingly enough, people are not curious. No one asks questions. How fascinating is that? Perloff goes on, normally the first step to take when another country misbehaves is diplomacy, but there was no effort to negotiate. Instead, the swift response of the United States and its allies was sanctions, followed in short order by direct military aid to Ukraine versus indirect, obviously, which has been going on for decades, which again, Perloff speaks to. And that's a known fact. It's been known for decades. And we've been watching that happen since, well, at least the breakup of the Soviet Union. This has been happening. And, you know, then there's next, Perloff includes Wes Clark, General Wesley Clark, back in 2007, talking about his book. You know, this was the Democracy Now! Installment. And I prefer the Commonwealth Club installment because I think he unpacked that a little bit more. And usually we play that clip when we refer on this broadcast to that situation, but it's astonishing. And the propaganda is always the same. You demonize the enemy. This is, if you look at the war propaganda, and some folks have, including folks like Perloff, you see a common theme. It's always the same. Why? Because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. From generation to generation, you can hoodwink them by saying these people are monsters. Look what they've done. They're throwing Kuwaiti babies out of incubators. They're monsters. Look, he's gassing his own people. He's bombing his own people. Well, it wasn't exactly true, but you know what? Like Madeleine Albright said, the lying was worth it. The price was worth it. You know, we actually murdered more children than were allegedly being thrown out of incubators, but, you know, it was worth it. In what context exactly was it worth it? This is insane. So, back to the social order, the cohesive nature of the social organism, and this companion piece. So, I mentioned, speaking of eusociality, Lark mentioned eusociality yesterday. This 2005 paper you can find at pubmed.ncbi.nlm.nih.gov over at the National Center for Biotechnology Information, just saying it's a .gov. It's not conspiracyarchive.com or whatever. Eusociality, origin and consequences. So listen just to the abstract and tell me if anything provocative is being said here, or anything jumps out. And I'll tell you what jumps out at me, among other things. In this new assessment of the empirical evidence to an alternative to the standard model is proposed. The standard model, what does that mean? Group selection, here's the alternative. Group selection is the strong binding force. Group selection is the strong binding force in eusocial evolution. And so when you start talking about this eusocial evolution, obviously it seems again to have the earmarks of a Darwinian sort of conversation, and that by design, that not by accident. So, you know, As I've mentioned, a dear friend reminding me, Chris, what's the full title of the book? You know, we say On the Origin of Species, or just Origin of Species, but species, the categorization, speaking of phylogeny, by what? By means of natural selection, okay. And then a comma and an or, it's an Oxford comma, or, it's this or, the preservation of favored races in the struggle for life. Well, who decides, speaking of species, who the favored races are? And if you can define who decides, didn't we just get to the bottom of the ultimate racist discussion? Aren't those people the ultimate racists? Seems the eugenicists are the real racists, not you and I. And they always have been. That again is a simple historical point of fact. So, in this new assessment, the empirical evidence, an alternative to the standard model is proposed. Group selection is the strong binding force in eusocial evolution. Individual selection, the strong dissolutive force, and kin selection, narrowly defined, either a weak binding or weak dissolutive force. So nepotism isn't nearly what we thought it was, apparently, according to circumstance. Close kinship may be more a consequence of eusociality than a factor promoting its origin. A point of no return, listen to this, a point of no return to the solitary state exists as a rule when workers like ants and bees, become anatomically differentiated. Wow. anatomically differentiated. Eusociality has been rare in evolution. Evidently, if you're suggestibilist, you add this, evidently due to the scarcity of environmental pressures adequate to tip the balance among countervailing forces in favor of group selection. Eusociality in ants and termites in the irreversible stage is the key to their ecological dominance and has, at least in ants, shaped some features of internal phylogeny. Their colonies are consistently superior to solitary and pre-eusocial competitors due to the altruistic behavior. They become their own Nazi enforcement brigade among nestmates, and their ability to organize coordinated action by pheromonal communication. Join us, the ants say in their little colony. Stick around, we'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Converts the picture into a television signal.
Welcome back. All right, let me wrap this up and we'll go to the phones here in a second. So just to, again, to underscore this, group selection is a strong binding force in youth social evolution according to this alternative to the standard model, which is interesting. That sounds like there's a discussion lurking somewhere in the on the periphery or in the background, doesn't it? A point of no return to the solitary state exists as a rule when workers become anatomically differentiated. And this, to me, is the key to, again, back to, you know, if you're Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider and friends, this is, I mean, gosh, this is it right here in a nutshell. Eusociality has been rare in evolution, evidently, due to the scarcity of environmental pressures adequate to tip the balance among countervailing forces in favor of group selection. So, what does that mean? Well, if you're an Alexander King or a Bertrand Schneider and friends, then you need to conjure up or manufacture some environmental pressures adequate to tip the balance among countervailing forces in favor of group selection, doesn't it? Enter Osama bin Laden, enter Saddam Hussein, enter COVID, enter, you know, ad infinitum. There you go. And what happens? Eventually, you know, these guys have studied this. You know, people, if you can get them to behave like herd animals or mentally ill people, then eventually they will turn into this. There will be, as this paper points out, the irreversible stage. There will be a point of no return to the solitary state, where the social mechanism will, by and large, become this autonomous mob composed of folks who are like an ant colony. And this is, I mean, this is the same conversation that we've been having for decades on this network and other places. It's the same thing John Taylor Gatto has been saying. It's the same thing that Charlotte Isserby was warning us about when she said, wait, I thought we were giving the Soviets our beautiful American education system. Why are we importing the Soviet school to work model? That's exactly what this is. It's eusociality. To reshape the phylogenetic mechanism, to reshape the epigenetic mechanism, to pass on these traits, not just in this generation in mimetic fashion one to another, but generationally. And as this paper points out, to manufacture an irreversible stage, a point of no return to the solitary state. So that's it in a nutshell. That's the conspiracy, you might say, in a nutshell. Second hour coming up. We'll go to the phones when we come back. Stick around. Be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.